Christ. The text for the sermon this morning is the gospel lesson, especially verse 11. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. This is the text. Well, before anything else, I want to tell you a story. It comes from long ago, and it was when I was a child. I was about yay tall. And it was time to get a Christmas present for my mother. And of course, being a child, yay tall, I didn't know what to get her or how to get her, or still hadn't quite figured out the whole idea of presents. So, as I remember it, some details are sharper than others, but she took me to the Five and Dime store. And there at the Five and Dime store, showed me what to buy and told me that, you know, she would like that very much. And she gave me a little bit of money and helped me to carry the thing to the checkout register and give the money to the cashier and who made the change and give the change back, and then later on helped me to wrap the present. And then here comes the surprising part. So it was time to give the present, and I very proudly gave her my little gift. And she opened it, and she was so delighted and surprised. And in that experience, thinking way back on that, there are lessons for epiphany, for stewardship, lessons that have to do with wise men and gold and frankincense and myrrh and everything else, and lessons that have to do with worship. So as we unfold this, first off, with that present with my mother's, whose money was it?
Hers.
It was hers. Whose idea was the gift?
Hers.
Who did the actual working through and checking the gift out and buying it? That'd be her. Who did the wrapping?
Her.
And yet when I gave that gift to her, she was so delighted at my thoughtfulness, which is kind of odd. Okay. Moving sideways from this, ask a riddle. As we come to worship God, which parts of our service are from God to us, and which parts are from us to God? And you can line some things out pretty well. The readings are from God to us. Invocation, from God to us. Psalm, from God to us. And so on. Communion, from God to us. You had a few other things in. Oh, the hymns, are those from us to God? Well, the content of the hymn is scriptural. So that's from God to us. And who inspired the writers of the music? Well, that would be the Holy Spirit, so the music is from God to us. Okay. As you go this route, there's usually one last holdout that people point to that they can say is from us to God. And that usually is, why the offerings? But you think about it. For those things that we bring in our offerings, who made the world? That would be God. Who gave us the blessings in the world? God. Who gave us the ability to work and earn a living and have those blessings? God? Who gave us the invitation that we are welcomed in his house? That would be God. Let me bring in one more thing at this point. That is, years ago, met a lady. This was down in Missouri, and I was still in seminary, and she was a cancer survivor, and she said that during her treatments, there was one verse of a psalm that was the most important to her, which was, I believe it's Psalm 20, where it says, "May the Lord have regard for your offerings and accept your worship." And she explained why that was so very important to her. She said that so many things in our lives are filled with our mistakes, our sins. In fact, everything that we try and bring before God is flawed in some way, shape, or form. We are imperfect and we are sinful. And being imperfect and sinful, God does not have to receive or welcome us into his presence, his house, or his family. But he does so. And that's a gift from God to us. So in fact, the being welcomed by God and having God see our gifts and our worship as worthy in his sight, that is the grace of God and from God to us. And going one more step on this before we wrap it around, I had heard for some years that the giving of offerings is different in Africa. Many places in Africa, they do it completely different than we do here. Time for the offerings. Somebody will play some music. We'll sit quietly. We'll think about what we've heard in the sermon. The offering plates are passed and then quietly brought forward and a little prayer said and such. In Africa, many times what will happen is when it's time for the offerings, the choir will begin to sing a chorus, which is something like a verse of scripture sung repeatedly, set to music. And as the choir begins to sing that, then the congregation joins in, and then starting with the choir, they will come forward with their offerings. And often as they sing, they dance on up to the front, and they present their offerings there at the altar, and they put their offerings on the altar, and then they dance on back, and the whole congregation, beginning from the front pews working on back, will do this, and the little children as well. And even if you don't have anything that you can give, you come forward and you sing and you dance and you present yourself before the altar of God, and then you go back. And somebody asked, why exactly do you do that? And the answer that they got pretty much echoes what we've been saying. And somebody, when our group went over to Africa and asked, they said, we're closer than you to when we were not Christians. And we still have this memory of not being a part of God's people. And we know what it is like to be separated from God. We know what it is like that all of our life is unacceptable in the sight of God. And now we are accepted by God. We are received by Him, and we are welcomed into the family and the house of God, into his presence. And we know this is by his grace, and we didn't do anything to deserve it. So what are we supposed to do? We sing and we dance to celebrate that. And as we bring this back into talking about the wise men, first fruits of the Gentiles, coming from a country far to the east, and probably the area of ancient Babylon, and they're coming to Israel because they've seen the star and they heard the prophecies and read in the ancient books that the star is heralding the coming of the king, and not just a king, he is the one who will save us, who will give our souls release and call us into the family of God and make us his own. And the Gentiles are coming, and these wise men from the east, they know not only is he king, they're also bringing frankincense, which means for God, and they're coming to worship him. And the conversation with Herod involves coming to worship him, and they're bringing the one item that is not mentioned in that Old Testament passage predicting their coming. They're bringing myrrh. Myrrh, the burial ointment. Wise men who know what this child has come to this earth for, in order to set us free, in order to make us God's people. And the nations from far, far away are now called and received into God's family, his kingdom, received into eternal life. And that being received into eternal life is going to happen through this child and through a measure of suffering. And we don't know how much they had figured out that suffering part, but it is the grace of God, the monumental grace of God that is astounding and astonishing. And they have been called to come into the family of God. What are they supposed to do? Bring gifts, journey a long distance, worship this child, celebrate that now they are accepted into the family of God, received into the house of God, and given the promise of living in the presence of God forever. So they come. And as it is traditional for Epiphany, we can recite through some of the gifts. And we begin with the ones that they brought. Gold for a king, frankincense for God, myrrh, the burial ointment. Strange thing to bring for a baby, but shows the wisdom and insight that comes from the scriptures. But there are more gifts besides that. In fact, their coming is the first fruits of the bringing in of all the nations of the world. The gift being given to Jesus Christ on that day by the calling of the Holy Spirit, by the plan and arrangement of God in all eternity, is that the kingdom of Jesus Christ will include people from every nation, every language. And we are brought together into his kingdom. Why, the wise men coming, they are a gift. And they are the beginnings of us coming in as that gift to Jesus Christ to form and fashion his kingdom. But who's giving that gift? Where is God? Who calls and gathers and brings us in? So the wise men come. And not only they, but their lives and their acts and their words and their prayer and their worship are gifts to Christ. But again, Who formed and fashioned that gift and designed it and brought it and presented it? Paul says in Ephesians 2, verse 10, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, to do good works which God has prepared in advance that we might walk in them." So anything and everything that we bring and offer to Jesus Christ is prepared by God in advance. And that wondrous gift given from us to Jesus Christ. It's kind of like that present to my mother on Christmas Day. That she had done all the work and it was her plan, her money, her wrapping, and I got to give it. And the fact that I got to give it was a gift from her to me. And then to turn the clock all the way to the end and say, well, what happens at Judgment Day? Well, we will stand before Jesus Christ and realizing that anything and everything that has been good in our lives, that has been loving or faithful or a service to God or caring for our fellow man, every single thing done in that way was done by God in us. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance that we might walk in them. And as we stand before Jesus Christ, knowing that anything and everything that is worthwhile came from him, then we will get to hear Jesus say, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your master. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink," and so on. And we'll say, "When, Lord, when did we ever do anything worthwhile to serve you?" And, you know, even knowing the pattern and how it's going to be said, we'll still have that question, and he will say to us, "As you did it unto the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me." And we'll enter into joy and glory, knowing that everything that has been done has been the work of God, who then chooses to look at us and our gifts and our lives and be delighted at those gifts given to him. It's an amazing and astonishing thing, isn't it? Everything is wrapped up in what Jesus Christ has done and in those gifts given to us by him. And yet, he chooses to rejoice and delight and celebrate in the gift of our lives lived for the kingdom of God. But there is one more gift of Epiphany to remember. And that is the great gift, the one gift. Greater than gold, frankincense, myrrh, greater than kings coming to worship and to serve, greater than all the Gentile nations coming into the kingdom of God, the one gift is the gift of Jesus Christ, which is the gift that God gives to the world, the gift that the Father gives to us. And it is a rule that does hold true all the way through from beginning to end, that no matter how much we wish to give to God, he will not be outgiven. He will always pour out more of his grace, his mercy, and his gifts to us and into our lives than we can give to him. finally, what do we make of this? We could analyze and pull it apart and say, well, it doesn't really make sense, and God should not take what is his work and say that it is actually us giving to him. Oh, you shouldn't do that. We could go that way. Or we could simply rejoice in his goodness, enjoy the grace of God being poured out on us. And what has always been the pattern of worship in the church, rejoicing in the goodness of God and celebrating it, singing it, and loving the giver. In Jesus' name, amen. We rise. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the true faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. We continue by speaking our faith, the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible.